إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. Brothers and sisters, حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا. Bring yourselves to account before you are taken to account. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, as we have just mentioned now in these verses, ittaqullah, taqwa. Constant reminder of taqwa. Ittaqullah, ittaqullah. Have a God. People translate it many times as fear, but we don't want to know Allah as someone we're scared of, but someone we want to attain taqwa with. And taqwa, as many times I have said and has always been stressed, is what we want to attain from Ramadan. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed to you as it has been prescribed to those before you, so that you may attain taqwa. So it's just something we need to gain in our lives, and it's a constant increase. We need to constantly be on the increase of gaining taqwa, inshallah. And the way to know we've attained taqwa after Ramadan is if we see, have our lives changed or not? Have we changed? Have the bad habits that we can't stop doing, have they changed, or do we just go back to the way we were? That's how we know we have attained taqwa. So we ask Allah to help us attain this taqwa from this blessed month. Now this is the month, أَوَلُهُ رَحْمَةً وَأَوْسَطُهُ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَخِرُهُ أَعْقُ مِنَ النَّارِ. The beginning of this month is rahmah. The middle of it is forgiveness. And the end of it is being free from the hellfire. And we hope that we can attain these three levels. But why are they at three levels? Rahmah, maghfirah, and ifq. Why are they in those levels? Because the scholars say that when somebody has done something wrong to you, the first thing you do after you, when you want to forgive them, you look at them with the eye of mercy. So you say, okay, he might have didn't mean it. He's sorry for what he did. So he didn't mean it. So let me try and accept him. He comes and talks to me. Okay, I forgive you. So the first thing is rahmah. The second thing is maghfirah. I forgive him. And the last thing is say, okay, that's it. Don't even worry about it. As if it never happened. Now, Aisha, the beloved wife of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this month of Ramadan, this blessed month of Ramadan, the month that we all hope to live for, and we all hope to worship at Allah and really attain the highest level that we can, what dua should I do? What supplication should I make to Allah? So he just told her one. He didn't tell her pages and pages of dua. Sometimes we're standing in prayer, all of these du'a people say, and it's a good thing. Some people stand half an hour, 2 hours in du'a. There's nothing wrong with that. But the sunnah, Prophet Muhammad said, just say this perfect, simple du'a. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afw fa'afu anni. Oh Allah, you are the pardoner. You are the pardoner. You love to pardon. Tuhibbul afw, you love to pardon. Fa'afu anni, so pardon me. Now we could say, Allahumma anta al-ghafoor, tuhabbu al-maghfira faghfirli. Oh Allah, you are the forgiver, you love to forgive, so forgive me. Or we could say, Allahumma anta al-rahman, tuhabbu al-rahma farhamni. But why didn't he say those? He said, Allahumma laka afuwan, tuhabbu al-af, fa'afu anni. So what's the difference between af and rahma and maghfira? Rahma is mercy. That's when we start to forgive someone, it's a mercy. So that's the beginning stages. That's why the beginning of Ramadan is the month of the beginning of mercy. And the second stage is maghfirah, is forgiving. But afw is the highest level where it's completely wiped off, as if you've never done the fault. So imagine you go on the Day of Judgment, you know that you've done this, you've done that, you've done all of these wrong things. But you come in front of Allah and you find your page blank. And you say, Ya Rabbi, I did all of these things. So he says, no, but you ask for afw. And I am the afu, I love to pardon, so I have pardoned you. That's the highest level. We need to increase in this dua in this month. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afw fa'afu anni. Oh Allah, you are the pardoner. You love to pardon, so please pardon me. Now, af, as we said again, is different to maghfirah. You can forgive someone, but you don't forget. That's why you say, forgive and forget. But forgiveness doesn't always mean you forget. I can forgive, you know, I can forgive if somebody stole this, or did this, or hit me, or swore at me. But I won't forget, I still remember. Allah doesn't forget. Of course, Allah doesn't forget. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forget anything. But He makes you think that it's wiped out. He knows what you've done, you know what you've done. But He's wiped it out for you. And there's a beautiful story. And we need to know how much Allah's rahmah is. Wahshay, he was a black slave of Hind. And Hind, in the Battle of Uhud, which was the second battle for the Muslims, she hated the Muslims. She hated them. She was the wife of Abu Sufyan. She hated the Muslims. And she had a slave called Wahshay. And Wahshay, she said to him, if you kill Hamza, because Hamza was Asadullah, Hamza was the uncle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the most courageous, one of the most courageous fighters in the battlefield. So she said to him, if you kill Hamza, I will let you free. You can become free and do what you wish. You don't have to work for me no more, go home. So Wahshay said, this is an opportunity. And he was a very good marksman, spear throwing and archery. He was very good, he never missed. So she hired him to kill specifically Hamza. On the day of Battle of Uhud, don't look for anyone else, look for Hamza. And kill Hamza, because she knows that this is going to affect the morale of the Muslims when they see one of their greatest fighters killed. And it's going to affect the feelings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his emotions. They all say when you want to attack someone, attack their emotion. But Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is stronger than that, which is what we will see shortly. So she said, kill Hamza. So he went on the Battle of Uhud, looked for Hamza. In one swoop, he killed Hamza, the beloved uncle of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He loved Hamza very much. And Hamza protected Muhammad on many occasions. So he loved him so much. And when he saw that he was killed, he was very upset. And Hind even went a step further by taking his body apart and trying to bite from it and rip his body apart. So she was full of hatred for the Muslims. So Wahshay, after a while, because the thing is, Islam, you can hide from Islam as long as you want, but the verses will reach you. The guidance of Allah will come to you. So Allah's verses come down, as we know, over the 23-year period. They came down in stages. So Wahshay started to think, what have I done? Is this right? Is it wrong? He started to get hidayah from Allah. So he heard this verse which came down. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرِكَ بِهِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah doesn't forgive if you hold associates with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. And He forgives other than that to whom He wills. So He doesn't forgive worshipping other than Allah. Unless obviously you've done tawbah and you become and you believe that there's only one God. But he said, Allah doesn't forgive that you take partners with Allah, and He will forgive other than that. لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. It's up to Him. So, you know, you might be in His mashi'a, you might not. So Wahshay said, he said, لَعَلِّ لَا تُدْرِكْنِ هَذِهِ الْمَشِيئَةِ. He said, maybe Allah's will not reach me. Maybe Allah doesn't want to forgive me. So he was scared, he was still worried. I'm not satisfied. I need something more than this. I need something to prove I'm forgiven. So then he started listening to what the verses came down to the Muslims. He wasn't Muslim yet, but he was listening to the verses, hearing the verses all of the time. So he heard the next verse which he heard came down, which was إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمَلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدَّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. This is, gives us much more hope. It gives us much more husna dhan, gives us much more good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where the verse says, إِلَّا. So Allah says, whoever kills and whoever commits adultery and all of the big sins, the kaba'ir, except he who taba, repents, وَآمَنَ, and he believes in Allah and believes in his repentance, وَعَمَلَ عَمَلَ صَالِحًا, and he does a good deed, Allah will replace his bad deeds with good deeds. So all of the bad sins which he's done will be replaced. But he still wasn't satisfied with this, because he said, I've killed Hamza. I've killed one of the greatest Sahabas. The person who was, he was a Sayyid al-Shuhada. He was the leader of the Shaheed, the leader of the martyrs. How could I be forgiven? What good deed could I do to make up for this bad one? He didn't know. He said, I'm still not sure. I can worship, I can pray in Tarawih all night. I can read the Quran every day. I can do all of these things. But does it mean I'll be forgiven? I don't know. I've killed one of the greatest Sahabas. So he was still worried. And then the final verse, which put a capital to his doubtedness. The verse came down. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي. Allah says, say Muhammad to my slaves, to my servants. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي أَلَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا. To those who have transgressed. أَصْرَفُوا. إِصْرَاف is when you have transgressed the boundary. You haven't just gone up on the border or slightly, you've transgressed. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي أَلَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ. You have gone far beyond the boundaries over yourselves. You've damaged yourselves by doing these deeds. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't belittle Allah's rahmah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Verily Allah forgives all sins. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Verily He is the forgiven, He's the merciful. So when he said that, he says, this verse is for me. This verse is for me. So he went to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I believe in Allah and I believe that you are the Prophet. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا wa وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. So Muhammad ﷺ knew that he had killed his uncle. What did he say? Let's capture him, let's hold him upside down, cut his head off, and send a video on YouTube to all the kuffar to say, this is what we're going to do to anyone who does this. No, no, no. He forgave him. As soon as you become Muslim, that's it. Your previous deeds are forgiven. And also Allah will forgive you. So this is af. قُلْ يَا عَبَدِ الَّذِينَ أَتْرَكُوا. We have done many wrong things, brothers and sisters. Many, many things, and we could put lists and lists of all of our wrong actions, from gossiping, from backbiting, from forgetfulness, from not knowing the importance and not realizing how important this month is. We have made mistakes. We all have made mistakes in this month. But we need to try and make our good deeds overcome our bad deeds and understand that Allah is afu. We need to memorize this dua, brothers and sisters. This dua is what Muhammad ﷺ told us to say in Ramadan. Allahumma innaka afuwwun tuhibbu al'afwa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, you are the pardoner. You love to pardon, so pardon me. Now we need to have something called husn al-dhan. Husn al-dhan billah. This is a good opinion of Allah. Now husn al-dhan and su' al-dhan, that's the opposite. Su' al-dhan is the opposite. Now what is husn al-dhan? Because Allah told us, or Muhammad ﷺ told us in Hadith Qudsi, أَنَا عَنْدَ ظَنَّ عَبْدِ بِي فَلْيُظُنِّ بِيَ مَا شَاءَ. I am in the opinion of my servant. Allah says, I am in the opinion of my servant. So he can think what he likes of me. Which is sometimes a proof for the atheists, those who don't believe in any existence of God. If they say, I don't believe in God, they will find everything to reconfirm their belief. They'll find reasons. So you take the belief and you'll find reasons to reconfirm your belief. So if you say, I don't believe in God, everything you do, you'll say there's no God. Because that's what belief you wanted to take. أَنَا عَنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِ بِي فَيُظُنَّ بِيَ مَا شَاءَ. I am in the opinion of my servant. So we have to have a حسن ظن بالله. We have a good opinion of Allah. So that when something bad happens to us, that we think is bad, we say, no Allah. We know this is better for us. There is another example of Sahaba, which is a great example of this. He was a young man. He was 20, 21 years old, and he was very active and very strong, full of health and energy and light and vibrant. And people said, my goodness, look at this wonderful young man working for Islam and doing all of these good things. And one day he became ill. And he couldn't even walk. He was paralyzed nearly. Completely gone. He couldn't do anything. 20 years old. And it can happen to any one of us, any time. You don't have to be old to be ill. So 20 years old, he became ill. And all of the people around him were crying for him and saying, oh, why did this happen? You know, we feel sorry for you. And he's saying, why are you crying for me? Allah is happy for this to happen to me, so I'm happy. Allah, this is Allah's qadr. I'm happy. It could be better for me. So this is husn al-dhanna billah. Now we need to have a good opinion of Allah to start with. And then we have to understand that Allah can forgive all of our sins. Don't ever think, whatever you have done, whatever big or small, or however many sins you've done, all of these things can be forgiven. But you need to take the step. Because dua is an active thing. You can't expect Allah to know what you want. We need to have our dua sincerely. And this is the month of dua. Tonight is the 25th night of Ramadan. 25 days. It's gone. Khalas. Ayyam al-Ma'dudat. The month of Ramadan is numbered days and they are coming to an end. So we really need to make the most of this month and the most of these last days. Because it could be Laylatul Qadr in these last few days. And Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr. Better than 1,000 months. 80 years of worship. So if you can just turn our TVs off for this last few nights, I mean, the movies will still be there, the films will still be there, the songs will still be there. You can listen to them if you want later, but these past few days, really, switch everything off and concentrate on ibadah. All of us, to myself and to everyone, really, these last few days is when we can attain the af, and we can attain something called عَدْخَ مِنَ النَّارِ. عَدْخَ means cut. To cut, the chain which was taking you to the hellfire is going to be cut. So that's it. And you once it's cut, that's it. You'll never enter. You'll never see it. That's it. We'll just go to heaven, inshaAllah. And we hope we can be on that list of the people who every night are written مِنْ عَطَفَىٰ النَّارِ Allah. So we ask Allah to give us this. We ask Allah to give us the عَفْءَ and مَغْفِرَ and رَحْمَةً. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, really this month of Ramadan is a month of rahmah and maghfirah and af. And we need to know the dua, Allahumma naka afuwan tuhibbu al-af, fa'afu anni. Oh Allah, you are the pardoner. You love to pardon, so pardon me. But also we need not to forget our brothers and sisters who are less better off than us. What's happening in Pakistan is still happening now. It's still happening now, nothing's changed. And the aftermath is usually worse than the initial calamity. Because people are left in difficult situations. They don't have sustenance, they don't have food, they don't have shelter. So this is a month also of giving charity. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was said by the Sahaba, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ جَوَادًا. Muhammad ﷺ was jawadan, which is the highest level of kindness. Jawadan. He used to give his money in charity all the time, all year round. But in the month of Ramadan, he was the most, his highest level of being jawad, he was in Ramadan. And then the Sahaba said, فَكَانَ كَالْرِيحَ الْمُرْسَلَةِ. He was like a whirlwind. A whirlwind which takes all of his possessions and gives it to someone else. Meaning everything he has, take it. I don't care, just take all of my possessions. He cares for the poor. He cares for those less better off than him. He didn't have much himself, but he cared for the people who were of less benefit than him. And there was one night where a woman came and gave him a present. She gave him a present, an abaya, a nice cloak. Because it was freezing cold. Don't forget the desert at night time goes very cold. He was freezing cold. She gave him a cloak. And then someone said to him, Ya Rasulullah, can I have this cloak? He said, of course. He got up and gave it to him. Look at us. I mean, if someone asked you, you've got a brand new suit. And someone said to you, can I have it? You'd say, oh yeah, Arabs usually say, oh, tfaddal. We always say, yes, of course, have it. But they don't really mean it. If you say, okay, give it to me. They say, oh, no, but I need it. You know, it's my work suit. Or it's my going out, it's my Eid suit. So he knows immediately, take it. And even the Sahaba asked this man, isn't it a bit rude that you asked this Muhammad to take his cloak? He just got it. So he said, the man said, I wanted this cloak to be my kafan in my grave. I wanted this to wrap me up because this is the only opportunity I had. So I took it. So he took an opportunity. It was a bit rude. Muhammad didn't get upset with him. And he was going to have this as the wrap to his shroud in his grave. So inshallah he's from Ahlul Jannah. And inshallah we will be from Ahlul Jannah if we take those steps. We take the sunnah of Muhammad. We take the Qur'an which we have. Don't put it back on the shelf after Ramadan and leave it filled with dust. Please brothers and sisters, we have the Qur'an in the back of the car, on the shelf. It looks beautiful. But how many of us actually implement it? How many of us follow it? I know people who have done 6, 7, 8 khatmas in Ramadan. And that's beautiful. That's a great thing because the thawab is huge. But do we implement what we read? There's no good in reading. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Ya ayyuha, oh you believe. Oh you who believe. All of these, oh you who believes. Orders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ignore them. We need to implement them. And the more we attain in knowledge, the more it's going to be hujjatun alayna. It's going to be a proof against us on the Day of Judgment. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to really, we have the beauty of Islam. We have this great deen, which is like gold. It's gold. It's golden. It's more than gold. It can't be described. And if we really study the religion, Allahu Azeem, any question you have in your head of doubt, really ponder over it. Go to scholars and ask them questions. You will see beauty in this religion. All of these accusations we see in the media, all of these things can be... We need people to represent Islam and show us the beauty of Islam. Beauty of Islam not by shouting and screaming kafir and munafiq and all of these names and by arguing over petty issues, but by really knowing the beauty of Islam, that this is a very short journey. Muhammad ﷺ, he told us this is a short journey. In Surah Al-Mu'minun it says, you will be asked on the Day of Judgment, how long did you stay in this world? And you will say, yawman aw ba'da yawm. You will say, a day or part of a day. That's how much this life we stress over will feel on the Day of Judgment. So it's not worth it, brothers and sisters, really. I'm not meaning to say that we don't work hard. We have to work hard because we have hidayah from Muhammad ﷺ and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he told us, if the day of judgment, if the sa'ah is happening, is happening in front of you, and you have a tree in your hand to plant, carry on planting the tree, finish any good deed you're doing. So we have to be good, we have to do good deeds and do good actions. But don't forget, don't let it enter your heart. Anything you've lost, alhamdulillah, qaddar Allah ma sha'a fa'al. Alhamdulillah, ala na'mat al-Islam, wa kafa biha na'ma. We thank our Allah for the blessing of Islam and sufficient of Islam as a blessing. This is the month of Ramadan, these are the last few days of Ramadan, ayyam al-ma'dudat. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins, and to give us rahmah, to give us maghfirah, and to give us af, and to give us afwa min al-nar. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه اللهم أرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم ارزقنا ليلة القدر يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ارزقنا ليلة القدر يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اكتبنا من أهل الجنة يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الأكرمين اللهم اكتبنا من أهل الفردوس الأعلى يا أرحم الأكرمين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ارزقنا ليلة القدر وارزقنا الدعاء فيه وارزقنا إخلاصا فيه يا رب العالمين وعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا أرحم الراحمين إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة